KSBFM Santa Barbara 91.9. This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Grace Aldrich with KCSB News. This is a show that shares what's happening in and around Isla Vista in the UC Santa Barbara community. On tonight's show, we examine the severity of the recent outbreak of COVID-19 in Isla Vista. I'll speak with Community Resource Deputy at Ivy Foot Patrol, Justin Schroeder, and UCSB Legal Resource Center Student Legal Resources Advisor, Robin Unander. But first, an alarming prediction from UCSB's Director of Student Health regarding a major outbreak in IV. Dr. Ali Javenbach shares the dire outlooks on the current situation if residents continue to avoid social distancing and advice for UCSB students. What are your biggest concerns as a doctor and student health official on the dramatic rise of COVID-19 cases in Isla Vista?
My biggest concern is that we'll have a big outbreak in Isla Vista with big numbers of people getting the disease in the thousands. And then that can lead to a lot of hospitalizations. Some of the models we looked at predict we'll have 500 some odd hospitalizations, and then students dying. The models that we've used predict that 9 students could die fall quarter if we don't control an outbreak like that. So those are my biggest concerns. Oh. Right, the numbers that we gave out were if we get full campus back, basically all of our 24,000 students being back with no mitigation measures. So, I mean, nobody wears a mask, nobody goes 6 feet apart. Then you're looking at those thousands and thousands of cases and 500, 600 hospitalizations and the deaths. So we're hopeful that the measures that we implement will reduce that. That is the scenario that we're absolutely wanting to make sure that we avoid at all costs. For students, the safest thing, specifically from a COVID standpoint, is to stay at home. And if their coursework is all remote, do the remote learning from home. That basically reduces their risk, because part of what the risk of COVID is people interacting with people that are not part of their core household. And Isla Vista is a prime setup for all kinds of interactions of people who aren't part of their core household. People are coming from all over into one densely packed housing. They're going about meeting with other people, and it's just ripe for spreading disease really quickly. Having said that, other perspectives, it's not always easy for college students to live with their parents, and it's not easy for parents of college students to have them live with them. So I can certainly understand students wanting to be away from parents and parents wanting the students to be away from them. I just think that Isla Vista is particularly dangerous just because it's densely populated, high student density. It's not like Westwood, Riverside, San Diego, where it's a little more dispersed. It's so high density, and that's the part that I think really particularly puts us at risk of rapid spread. But I will also point out that it can also serve as a big protective factor in a way, because while we have high density, of course, and large student population and lots of potential for mingling, it's not an area that people move into and out of on a regular daily basis. It's not like the suburbs or a downtown area where people go to and come from on a regular everyday basis. Typically what happens is students come here, they stay here for weeks and months at a time. And then for holidays, they might go home. So if people are really diligent about practicing those measures while they're here, it could well be that Isla Vista winds up being actually one of the safest places there is. We could have one of the lowest rates around. Because if those individuals in that area start to take that action, you don't have a lot of outsiders coming in and introducing disease. We're not officially contact tracers, because that's an official term that has an official designation. But what we do is the contact investigation part, meaning that someone tests positive for COVID, we reach out to them, see how they're doing, ask about their living situation, who have they been in contact with, get a list of everyone who could have been exposed, contact those people, get them in for testing, and then instruct them about isolation and quarantine for a 2-week period, and check with them every day to see how they're doing, if they're developing symptoms, if they need to come in and be seen, and any other support they might need as far as food and any academic issues that come up, or financial needs that come up, or any housing needs they have. So we've been working with our social workers and housing on campus and dining services to basically see whatever we can do to help students through an isolation or quarantine period.
I think what's really important is what you said on the first question, that this has the potential to cause a major outbreak. And so I was wondering if you had any comments, or since this is a public platform of radio, what you would want to say to listeners about this current situation.
Well, what I would want to say to the listeners is basically they're going to decide how this all pans out. You know, on our end, we can advise, we can educate, but ultimately it comes down to individuals and the decisions they make. So with everyday actions, people will make an active decision on which way this is going to go. If they choose to wear a mask when they're outside, keep 6 feet apart, keep gathering small, they are actively participating in protecting our community, keeping our students safe, keeping students from getting ill, getting hospitalized and dying, and keeping the campus operating. If they're choosing to ignore those and not wear a mask, have big gatherings, they are actively taking steps that moves us towards a big outbreak, large numbers, large hospitalizations, students' death, student deaths, faculty death, campus staff death, and ultimately could be wind up shutting down the campus. So each individual makes their decision. And the other piece of it is it doesn't have to be 100% across the board. If 80% of the people, 80% of the time, practice these really good measures, it's still really effective. Of course, we want people to do it all the time, every time. But again, even doing it most of the time, most of the people can really have a huge impact.
So what would be your recommendation for students returning to Santa Barbara or Isla Vista in the fall?
My recommendation would be to really be diligent about these infection control measures. So every time they're outside of their house, wear a mask. Keep absolutely 6 feet apart from anyone that's not in your household. And then most importantly, have a plan. If somebody in your household feels ill, whether it's COVID or not, because sometimes you don't get to test everybody and sometimes the test isn't 100% accurate. If anybody gets ill or somebody tests positive, what are you going to do? I would encourage them, especially UCSB students, to engage with student health. We are here to help. We have a team ready to give advice on how to isolate and how to quarantine if need be. Even if you have a house with 14 people and you can't have a room to yourself, there's still plenty that could be done. We'll do whatever it takes, and we can check in with people and follow them through and make sure that they're taken care of. So I would very much urge them to participate, have a plan, and be an active partner.
Do you have any last comments?
I will just reiterate, because I don't think it can be emphasized enough, that each individual's actions will help determine the course of this thing. It cannot be done by anyone else. So it's up to the individuals to basically decide if they want to have a safe campus community and protect themselves, or if they're going to go down the path of an outbreak. And most importantly, I would urge all UCSB students, really work with and be partners with student health. Our main goal is to control this disease. So if anybody turns positive or we reach out to them, you want to know who they've been in contact with so we can let those people know, give them guidance, give them support. A lot of students have been hesitant to communicate with us and give us that information. I'm guessing fearing that they're going to get in trouble. That's certainly not the case. We have no connection to any other entity. We are just providing healthcare. That is all we're doing. Our main concern is control the disease, keep the campus safe. So I'm hoping that all of our students will be active partners with us on this, because together we can do it.
This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Grace Aldrich with KCSB News, discussing the effects of COVID-19 on the Isla Vista community. Dr. Henning Anzorg, Santa Barbara County Health Advisor, discussed the severity of COVID-19 on younger individuals at the Santa Barbara County Public Health Conference on August 4th.
More people in their 20s get COVID than people between the ages of 50 to 70. And more children get COVID than even the elderly. The highest percentage of new cases are in the age group of the 30 to 40-year-olds. I'm pleading with the younger generation, please avoid gathering with those not in your immediate household. Please protect and respect others by wearing your mask and staying 6 feet apart from others. Understand that you are at risk for getting this virus and that you will spread it to more vulnerable people. Please be responsible and become a champion by avoiding infection of yourself and others.
This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Grace Aldrich with KCSB News. On tonight's show, we're discussing COVID-19 in Isla Vista. Next, we have Justin Schroeder, the Community Resource Deputy at Isla Vista Foot Patrol, and he shares his experience from a law enforcement perspective.
So yes, we do have the role of enforcing basically all of the public health officer's orders, and that includes the order prohibiting gatherings of any kind, maintaining 6 feet of distance between yourself and somebody else, and then wearing masks if you cannot stay 6 feet apart from somebody, or if you have to go inside, like to a school or a business or a restaurant or something like that, you have to wear a mask. So the enforcement of that can look like a number of different things. We really heavily rely upon the educational piece. And so if we see a violation, whether it be a large gathering or somebody refusing to wear a mask or not socially distancing in a park or something like that, then we'll go ahead and contact that individual or that group of people and educate them on kind of what their actions could lead to. And so I would say 99% of all of our enforcement is that, just educating people. We'll just show up and we'll let them know that, hey, your gathering is too large. You need to leave the area or split up somehow or distance or put masks on or whatever the case may be. And generally that educational piece is enough for them to change that behavior. Maybe they just kind of forgot or didn't realize what they were doing. And sometimes it's justified. As you know, probably in Isla Vista, sometimes there are 10 to 15 people living in an apartment. And so what might look like a gathering or a party is really just the roommates that live there together anyways. And so they're not really in violation of that order because they live together. So if it gets really out of control, then we could issue citations or even make arrests. But luckily, we really have not had to go down that path. And we just focus on that education piece.
All right. And with the education piece, is it mostly just verbally educating?
So most of the time, it is more of just a verbal kind of banter back and forth, us gaining information on what's going on and then educating them on how that could possibly be a violation of that health order.
As you know, in Isla Vista, they have reported such an increase in cases over the past 2 weeks. How does this affect the conversations that Isla Vista Foot Patrol is having internally in ways to help mitigate the spread?
Yeah, so it's a very delicate balancing act, I would say. And we're constantly talking, myself, Lieutenant Camarena, who's the station commander, and the Foot Patrol deputies. We're trying to kind of find that balance of what we do to enforce the public health order without going overboard, because like I said, one of the things that we keep running into out here are these large houses that have between 10, 15, maybe 20 people living in one house. And so we'll get numerous complaints about a party at that residence. And so, of course, we want to go to enforce the public health order. But then when we get more information, it turns out that it's actually just the residents of that house. And maybe they invited one or two other people. And so, you know, does that warrant a citation or an arrest? I don't know. And that's the balance we have to keep going over, because there's certainly some residents out there who would say, yes, you need to be issuing citations to stop the spread of COVID. But then there's the other opinion that says, well, they're always in contact with each other and they're just throwing a party. So why are you getting involved and bothering them? And so it's just like nationwide, there's such a difference of opinions on how we should be enforcing this order. And we have to grapple with that every day. And so I don't think we have a perfect answer. And that's why we're kind of heavily relying on that educational piece and really asking the public to comply with those public health orders without us having to do enforcement, because we really don't want to be issuing citations or making arrests. We would hope that people are just responsible enough on their own to follow the order without us having to get involved. And so that's kind of our stance at the moment.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
I think kind of just like I alluded to right there, I would just really urge listeners and all the residents of Isla Vista to realize that we are having that increase in cases right now, and just to really do their best to comply with that order. Not just because it's a public health order, but just thinking of their own safety and the safety of others, because they may not be too concerned about this, but if they pass it on to, say, to me, who has a three-week-old baby at home, or to me, who goes and visits my grandfather, or to somebody else who has a medical condition they don't know about, it could seriously affect that person. And so we just really would like to remind people of those guidelines, to keep their distance, to wear their mask, to please not host any large gatherings, and hopefully we can get the rate of spread back down in Isla Vista to where it was before.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Justin. I really appreciated your time and enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah. Anytime you need anything, let me know.
This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Grace Aldrich with KCSB News. In tonight's show, we're examining the multifaceted situation that is COVID-19 in Isla Vista. Our final guest is Robin Unander with UCSB Associated Students Legal Resource Center, with advice to students residing in Isla Vista who are navigating the housemate challenges and legal obstacles amidst the pandemic. What resources do students residing in Isla Vista have available to them regarding COVID-19 support?
That's a great question, Grace. And from my understanding, because I'm not actually boots on the ground in Isla Vista currently since I'm working remote, they would have some resources available through the Pardall Center, which I believe is distributing masks and thermometers so that students can monitor themselves and also have access to masks for safety. And we are still offering support for tenants and other students as well, as not just tenants, through the Isla Vista Tenants Union and the Legal Resource Center, just not on site.
What options do students who are in a legally binding housing contract have if they feel unsafe or want to return home?
That is a really complicated question, and a lot of it depends on the type of rental housing contract that they are in. If they're in university housing, there might be different options that they would have versus if they were in private housing. And if they're in a contract with several people on the same contract, which is usually referred to as joint and several, versus a by the bed contract, which we tend to see at places like Campus 880 or Icon or The Loop, where they're only responsible for their bed and not for the rest of the apartment or sharing the responsibility with others. So generally speaking, and I can't really comment on what's going on with university housing, but I can comment on the joint and several nature contract and the by the bed contract. If there is a student who has, let's just say, a health concern, they have a compromised health condition, and being in Isla Vista in a living situation that could be dangerous for them, if they have roommates that are not practicing safe social distancing protocol, then if they're in a by-the-bed lease, they may be able to make a request of their landlord to be released on the basis of a reasonable accommodation due to a health disability. And that might be, you know, they've got asthma or they've got other, you know, respiratory type of conditions, and being exposed to COVID and coming down with COVID could be really bad. So they would have to get support from a physician to make the request, and then the landlord could either agree to release them from their lease or maybe offer them a bed in a space where maybe there's no other occupants.
What recommendations do you have for students moving into private housing in Isla Vista, either currently or if they are returning in fall?
One of the things that I think is really going to be important for students returning or moving into their new housing for the fall is that they have a meeting with any roommates that they're going to live with to get on the same page about how they want to proceed going forward, given everything around them, given that Isla Vista is starting to spike with cases, given that there are many students who are not adhering to safe protocols. Some of the things that we're hearing from tenants is that some students are practicing safe protocols, but they have roommates who are not. And sometimes the roommates are refusing to, sometimes the roommates are just not being as diligent about it, and there becomes a conflict with how they're living their lives. And it's not just a matter of I'm messy and your neat as a pin. These are conflicts that are potentially life-threatening. So to the extent that the tenants can get on the same page with their roommates, that would be recommendation number one. And we've seen some situations where some tenants are almost parental in the way that they're approaching this, and they are taking it very seriously, which is great, but they're also imposing regulations, requirements, and restrictions on their roommates that they don't get to do. They can't require their roommates to not go out and socialize. They can't require their roommates to wear their mask at every opportunity inside the house, outside the house, you know, wherever they go. And so what we've been seeing is a lot of conflicts between roommates about how to proceed under all the circumstances. So having a meeting to talk about some practical, realistic rules that they all can agree to live by would be important. And what would be the outcome if somebody chooses not to? What are they going to do if there is a roommate who decides they don't want to live by those rules or agrees in concept to live by those rules but then refuses to actually follow the rules? One other thing that we've seen is where some students are not able to be here in Isla Vista and have decided that they're going to stay home, and they do their best to try and find a replacement person. Now we've got the replacement person coming in from the outside, and the existing roommates don't know who this person is, don't have a rapport or relationship with them, don't know how they're living their life because they have no history on them. And that's creating some conflicts as well. So if somebody's going to decide that they are not going to live in Isla Vista and they're going to stay home and they want to try and find somebody to take over their spot, whether for the rest of the lease or temporarily, they really should communicate with their roommates about what that looks like, be respectful to their roommates' concerns, be respectful to their roommates who want to be part of that process and get to know someone. And then if they're the roommate who is having this imposed upon them, understand that it's going to be much more to their advantage to be involved in the process rather than just not cooperating and pretending like it's just not happening.
And do you have any ideas how housemates could create a health pack, or if there's any way that it could be enforced legally if violated?
The health pact would have to be something that would be individual to each household. And it's a good suggestion to have something like that, maybe that we can create with our Isla Vista Tenants Union to have on file so that students could use it as a template for going forward. But with regards to enforcement, if the roommates decide they're going to sign this health pack, just like basically house rules, and if somebody were to be in violation of the health pact, then enforceability might look like they would have legal right to then be excused from performance of the lease if their roommate is not going to be following the health pact. Potentially, if the non-compliance to the health pact results in any sort of economic damage to the complying roommate or roommates, then the recourse could be in small claims court against the disobedient roommate to seek reimbursement for any of that. It would be tough for the lease to just be canceled because you'd have to involve the landlord in that regard. If you've got the complying roommates wanting to cancel the lease and move out without trying to find any kind of replacement for themselves. But if you've got a non-complying roommate who is creating the problem, potentially you might have at least a basis to say, I shouldn't be obligated, you're going to take over the responsibility, and I'm going to go this way, and you can find a replacement. It's definitely an uncharted territory of law. A lot of the stuff that we've been dealing with is uncharted territory because there's no laws that really were written to support the situation. So I think it's going to have to be a case-by-case basis in determining what were the rules, how were they agreed on, did everyone agree on them, and what was the anticipated remedy or recourse for somebody if they are not complying, or against somebody if they're not complying.
And do you have any last comments or statements you would like to add?
I think one of the things that we've seen as a collateral damage or consequence of all this that has been the hardest is the destruction of relationships, because we've seen roommates who were great roommates, great friends, and but for all this COVID stuff where it's putting them at odds of who's living there, who's not living there, who's being safe, who's not being safe, who's able to pay the rent, who's not able to pay the rent. We have seen so many relationships just destroyed because of this, and that's really hard. And there's really nothing to do to try and prevent that, because it's putting people at odds who otherwise wouldn't be at odds with each other.
You've been listening to Inside Isla Vista. Thanks for tuning in Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to find out what's happening in and around Isla Vista. With KCSB News, this is Grace Aldridge.